Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4! Hey ho, let's go!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
And it's lovely to have your company. We've only got 55 minutes before kickoff this afternoon. The Panthers taking on the Bulldogs. Nathan Brown is here, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler is having a little sit down for half an hour to think about what he's done so far, see what he can improve for the final 30. And a man who has already popped his head up is Peter Sterling, who joins us right now. Sterling, g'day.
Hello, Tony, Em, Brownie and listeners. Yeah, I do apologise for that. You might get the impression I'd like to see Tommy play for New South Wales this year.
Absolutely.
Later on. What I am confident of is that Tommy Trbojevic will not play. Brad Fittler, Greg Alexander, Danny Badiris and Kate will never, ever put Tom Trbojevic in a position where if there's any doubt about him being able to play Origin, that they'll play him. And obviously, the association they'll have with the doctors and everything, he'll only play if they're as confident as they can possibly be that he's right to go.
And obviously, that's partly the injury aspect. What about the notion? I mean, these guys are such amazing athletes, but the notion of her not run around only once in 19 weeks when he goes in?
Well, obviously it's a test, probably unprecedented in a lot of ways, but he's a supreme athlete, one of the game's great players. But as I say, they'll know at the time whether he's up to it. You know, like you talk about the origin experience of those gentlemen I just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, they know what's required, and they're not going to take a punt because there are options that, well, Katoni Staggs going down didn't help, but there are still options there. So, you know, I have great faith in the guys in charge of New South Wales, and that's justified with what they've done the last 2 years and the selections that they've made.
Indeed. All right, we'll get more from you on your take of what's gone on so far this round in a moment. But right now, though, it's this.
Read about it. Read about it.
Reedy's Mail.
This is probably a nasty way to talk about a person. I'm talking about Brent Reed, who joins us. G'day, buddy.
Hello, guys.
Where are you? You're playing football again, are you?
I'm playing football again. I'm down at Lambie Oval. It's Manly at Lambie v Manly Vale. And if I could give us some sort of sense of what that means, it's like Liverpool, Everton or Arsenal Tottenham, this one. It's a dead set derby game.
So, Reedy, when we talk to you every week, you seem to be maybe not a priority for your team because they give you time off to talk to us in these great derby matches.
Normally I've helped us build up a healthy lead, and that's why I'm able to come off and take a break.
Okay.
Today it's only 1-0, but it should be 10. But anyway, let's not go into how the strikers are performing today. They've let us down, but you know, that's to be expected. They are over 45.
Oh, dear. Hey, do you wear sponsored gear? What goes on with your competition?
Yeah, I've got a funny story today, actually. Last time we played this team, I had a little blue with a guy at half-time in the opposition. Anyway, he came up to me before the game, and I thought he was going to have a go at me. He's walked up to me, he's gone, "Do you reckon Anthony Seibold will ever get another job?" And I said to him, "Oh, I don't know. Probably Anthony's a good fella."
So then you belted him.
Exactly.
Have you got any Warriors mail for me, Reedy?
Not today.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry, mate. Not today.
You do have. What's the latest at Manly with Kieran Foran and the return?
Yeah, look, obviously that news came out on Friday. That deal had been struck. Look, I think Des wanted to keep it under wraps. His hope was to keep it under wraps until Monday, but obviously the word filtered out. They've done that one-year deal with a one-year option. I think it's in the club's favour, that option. But, you know, obviously Kieran's delighted about it. I spoke to Manly about it on Friday, and, you know, they said they were just putting the finishing touches on the deal. I think it's a great story for the game. I think it's a great story for Kieran. I reckon it's a great story for Manly, to be honest. So, you know, I think it's one of those Cinderella stories or fairy tales that we love in rugby league, and hopefully Kieran can make the most of it. But I haven't spoken to him. I talked to him on Friday, but I'd spoken to him during the week. I know Kieran was desperate to get back to Manly, so I'm really happy for him because he hasn't had much luck, and this is what he wanted, and he's got it. So I think it's a great outcome.
There were two, I noticed in the newspapers today, two schools of thought. Were there, one, obviously, in the number six jersey, but there was also talk of number nine.
Yeah. Well, all the mail I was getting told was that Cade Cuss would play nine, and if Kieran Kane there, he would play six. Now, we've obviously got young Josh Schuster, and there's been a bit of agitation from his management about potential for Kieran to arrive, and I'm sure they want to keep Josh happy because they see him as the future. But the mail I was getting, as I said, was that Kieran would play six alongside Daly, and Cade Cuss would move to hooker in the off-season. So I guess we'll have to see how that one plays out.
Kieran's a six.
Yeah, I think he's a six too. I don't know. I think it's a bit late in his career to be playing and hooker. And I think the idea is to take some pressure off Daly. And, you know, I know playing, finding a nine would do that, but I think playing him at six would take a bit more heat off him than potentially playing him at nine. So I think that's the more likely scenario for me.
Dylan Walker comfortably just goes back to the centres.
Exactly, yeah. And that's a cracking backline, isn't it, when you add Tommy to it? I mean, that's a premiership-winning backline. So, you know, as I said, I think it's a great result for the game. It's a great result for Kieran. Hopefully he can turn things around once he gets there.
Reedy, we're talking about Tommy Trbojevic and State of Origin. In terms of those Blues jerseys, there had been over the past few seasons plenty of Dragons players. There could be question marks over many of them.
Yeah, look, they're going to name those players on Monday. The first group of players, I think, is on Monday. And I was getting a bit of mail on Friday that there'd only be two Dragons in there. That'd be Cam McInnes and Tyson Brazel. So there'd be no Paul Vaughan and no Tarek Sims in that initial train-on squad. Obviously, that depends on how guys get through the weekend. I think Staggs would have been there if he hadn't been injured. That was almost a certainty. Looks like the Brisbane will get Payne Huss in that squad.
Zach Lomax would have to be there, wouldn't he, Rudy?
Well, I would think he would have to be now that Tony Staggs is out still. But the mail I was getting pre-Katoni Staggs was that Lomax wouldn't be in there. It would just be McInnes and Frizzell. But I'd suggest that's probably going to change now with Staggs being out. And then, obviously, mainly the Trbojevic boys will be in there. So I was expecting six to be named on Monday. It'll probably be six still, but the ratio of players from different clubs will change because Zach Lomax will probably come in and obviously Katoni Staggs will drop out.
All right. It is, of course, as we said, round 19, heading into the finals for plenty of sides. It's the end of the road and what has been a tough and difficult season in 2020. What's the NRL saying about the gathering to have a few shandies, once known as Mad Monday?
Well, we spoke about it a few weeks ago that they were going to ban it, but that's official now because I've got some documentation that they were sending out to the players who were breaking camp, and it makes it pretty clear there's no Mad Monday this year. It's forbidden. So it's the end of one of the great traditions. Mad Monday is Gonski.
But how do you define a Mad Monday? So what if they gather for a lunch? What is the definition of Mad Monday?
I've heard they're putting it off 24 hours. It's terrorising Tuesday.
Well, that is, you're right. It's an interesting point about how they actually marshal that and how they monitor it, because there's nothing to stop guys actually being in there because they're in the bubble for two or three days after the season's over, and they can have a sort of gathering within the bubble. That's pretty clear in the documentation they've been given. But I don't think I think the NRL will frown on mass gatherings of blokes dressed as, you know, superheroes hanging out of pubs together. I think that's
about bumblebees. Well, so bumblebees is a good look.
Surely the dress up part
is not
the major issue, is it? I mean, guys going around in Superman outfits doesn't really offend society, does it?
No, but that normally gives it away that it's a Mad Monday, doesn't it?
That's a Saturday afternoon at the races for you, isn't it, Tony?
Usually gorilla suit I try.
So they can do it, but they can't dress up. They have to be able to have a lunch or have some beers together. They've just been in a bubble They can't. They've got to be able to, after everything they've been through.
Don't yell at me. Can you take it up with Andrew Abdo?
Emma has Mad Monday every week, so, you know, it's true.
Well, I do. I've got issues, but, you know, it's a separate story.
Did you ever put on a get-up?
I loved our get-together.
Wait, back up, Sparky. I saw a lot of those fractured fairy tales on Channel 9 before Origin. I've seen you in various costumes.
I was getting paid good money back then, Tony. No, I loved getting together for a day or a couple of days and just having a quiet drink and having a bet on the horses and just spending time with my mates, and we had a great time. There was never any dramas. I never, ever, ever understood the dress-up. Yeah. Part of it.
Oh. So your Saturdays have never changed from when you were playing.
And Mondays and Wednesdays, and they race Fridays as well.
All right, we mentioned earlier the Broncos and their play, it seems, for super coach Craig Bellamy. Where's that at?
Well, to me, there was a conspiracy actually going around on Friday, because the rumour was that Melbourne wanted an answer, Brisbane wanted an answer out of Craig Bellamy over the weekend. And the theory there was that they wanted to know whether Craig was coming before they made a decision about the coach, because I think they would feel, this was the theory, I'm not saying this is fact, the theory was that they would feel more comfortable appointing Kevin Walters if Craig Bellamy was there eventually to work alongside him. Now, if Craig wasn't, then the theory was, if Craig decided he'd reject them potentially over the weekend, the theory would have been that that Paul Green would have got the job. So, as I said, it's only a theory. It was doing the rounds on Friday. You know, I think, obviously, judging by that, I think Brisbane were pretty confident they get the right answer out of Craig. But now he's delayed a decision till the end of the season. You know, they're going to have to pull the trigger on the coach, I would think, next week, that we'll make here a decision on that. And they're going to have to make that decision without knowing what Craig's going to do. So, as I said, there was a conspiracy theory that that would impact on Kevin Walters' chance of getting the job. I don't know whether that's true. I wasn't able to firm it up with anyone, but that was a theory during the rounds. Because obviously there's rumoured to be some concern over the fact Kevy's never been an NRL head coach. So I guess we'll have to see how it plays out to see whether there was any fact amongst that.
Well, is it slightly odd that Donaghy at the Storm is negotiating, he says, an equivalent kind of thing for Craig Bellamy to keep him there after he's finished actual coaching in 2021. But he may well be the next CEO of the Broncos, which I'd imagine you wouldn't quite like to have Craig Bellamy involved in that role.
You'd sign him to get Bellamy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think actually Matt Tripp, the chairman down there, has sort of taken on those negotiations with Craig about his future in Melbourne and staying down there. And obviously they're happy if Craig moves to Queensland as he plans to do. They're happy for him to basically build a role around whatever he wants down there. And I think that would seem more logical to me. I mean, you know, Craig's obviously built a legacy there. He's been so integral to that club. And as long as they're willing to accommodate what he wants, I'd be surprised if he decides to leave, to be honest.
All right, we better let you get back to your game of footy.
No, it's over. Derby so, game. He didn't get a run.
Still going. Still 1-0. They're just clinging on without me. Jeez.
Of course. Are you a defender or an attacking player, Reedy?
No, midfielder. Midfielder.
Midfielder.
He's never been quite sure.
General, I think.
Midfield
like,
general.
Midfield
is
general.
Like, called. Yeah.
Nice.
A bit like Joey in his heyday. Well, Sterling. Should I say Sterling? Sorry, Sterling.
What the game seems to move slowly around you? Is that what you're saying? Got more time.
Yeah.
Brent Reed, exactly. Great to talk to you.
I'll send you a text if you want.
Okay, that'd be great. Some video would be really, really good. We'll put it up.
Oh, video. Yeah. Okay, I'll do that. Yeah.
All right, there goes Reedy. Thanks so much.
For an integral team player, he seems to have a lot of time to be on the sideline to take footage.
Exactly. The same when he's coaching his kids. He's never watching. Such a professional. Mm. We have plenty to get to. We'll get Stella's take on what's happened so far. The Roosters, can he believe it? That's next Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Stella, Brownie, Emma Lawrence, Tony Squires with you. Now, if you've got to download a new app today, go with one that will stay the distance. The betting choice is easy. Ladbrokes, back yourself. Remember, gamble responsibly. Tom Hackett joins us. G'day, Tom.
Hello, Tony.
All right, we're heading towards 3 o'clock and the Panthers and the Bulldogs. They just keep winning, Penrith. As I said, they've only lost once this season. They've got to be almost unbackable, haven't they?
Yeah, no surprises here, Tony, that Penrith Panthers are the dominant $1.15 favourites. They've been very popular all week long. They're the anchor for many multis right across the weekend. Even though the Bulldogs had that good win against the Rabbitohs last weekend, they've still been pretty unpopular punters this afternoon. They're $6.20.
Okay. Big chance the Raiders will play the Sharks 2 weeks in a row. What about this opening game?
Sterling, this market completely changed on its head during the week. The Raiders were the favourites earlier in the week, but then once the teams were named and the Raiders named a fairly understrength market side, the market completely flipped. The Raiders out to $2.65 now. The Sharks into $1.52, and they've been very popular late with punters.
Go the Sharks.
Yeah, Tom, the Eels need to beat the Tigers to secure that top four finish. What are the punters saying there, mate? Are the Tigers any hope?
Eels are the clear favourites here, Brownie. They're $1.38. But there has been a bit of money around for the Tigers. Not sure if it's sentimental money with Chris Lawrence's last game, Benji Marshall's last game for the Tigers. But there is some money. They're into $3.25 to record an upset win.
I think Emma Lawrence has had a big crack at the
big splash.
I think Emma may have moved the market herself.
I think she has.
Tom Hackett, as ever, thank you so much, mate. If you've got to download a new app today, go with one that will stay the distance. The betting choice is easy, Ladbrokes. Back yourself, but gamble responsibly.
Don't know if you've already been asked him, but how is the brother?
He is content. I don't think he doesn't seem sad at the moment. He might get emotional potentially after the game, but I think he's ready. Yeah. He's, and he did say during the week, if I was sad, I probably maybe it wouldn't have been the right decision, and I would be second guessing it. But he said, no, I know I'm ready. So I think he's excited for tonight, and he set himself up well post footy. So
which he's been working on for a while.
Yeah, so he's got a business, One Wellbeing, which they do. They do athlete education, so go into a lot of footy clubs. They do Cert 3 and 4 in, they can get their certificate to be a personal trainer, those sorts of things. Does a lot of talks around adversity and the power of resilience in different corporate companies as well, and draws on a lot of the experiences he's had through his injuries, his dislocated hip and his facial injury too. So, yeah, he's got all of that and potentially stay involved with the Tigers as well, hopefully.
So he's put us to shame, basically, yeah, totally. The way he said himself, organised himself.
Absolutely.
I've
never had an idea
just
in my
fall
life.
Into things.
Yeah, exactly. Did you know, Brown, it was the injury for you in terms of...
The injury for me, mate, yeah.
You loved it, would have kept going?
I was only 27 at that stage, so I was pretty young and hadn't really had any injuries. I had a couple of minor ones, but nothing of any note.
Was it how long before you got involved? Because you're obviously a very young coach, but was it like a massive hole in your life when you were not playing footy?
Oh, the first week or two was tough getting head around it, but after I decided to move into another era of life, it was sort of, I went on the footy show and Fatty Vorton actually said to me, he goes, your life's just about to start. It starts after you retire from playing. And I thought it was a good way of looking at it. So.
What about you, Stirlo?
I the following Thursday after I retired, I think I retired on the Monday or the Tuesday, I sat at home bawling my eyes out.
Really?
Because every Thursday night I knew where I was supposed to, where I had to be and what I was doing, and I just felt lost because it was injury for me as well. And, I suppose, at 32 years of age, the realisation that the bulk of my working life was still in front of me was, it hit home dramatically. And I didn't have a trade, so I wasn't quite sure what I'd do, but I guess, I'd had injury for the last 2 years of my career, I'd done a little bit of stuff in the media, so the transition was a touch easier, but you've got to get the opportunity as well. But now I can remember 4 or 5 years later the actual moment standing at the top of ANZ Stadium looking out at a game, thinking for the first time, I'm comfortable standing here instead of wishing that I was out there.
Right.
I remember the moment vividly that was, so it took a long time for me. I wasn't ready to retire.
It's amazing, isn't it? And it's one of those things, it's not just rugby league, it's anything where it's your physical capacity is what makes you excel, is that at that age, an early age, and people complain about how much rugby league players get paid, but everything is poured into such a small amount of time.
Well, someone once said that rugby league player, the first 30 years of their life completely unprepares them for the next 60 years of their life, hopefully, type thing. And in some ways that does. But I think the lessons, if you learn the right lessons out of rugby league, it puts you in really good stead to go on to whatever it is. The qualities to be successful in rugby league fit into any part of your life, whether it be business, whether it be whatever. If you're disciplined and you're dedicated and you set goals and you prepare and all of those things, that'll take you into the next phase, whatever it is.
Yep, never been good at any of those things.
I was fortunate with my retirement in the way that the club looked after me, because I still had another year on my contract after the year that I sort of got hurt at the start of the year. So the club just agreed to break me last year, my contract up over X amount of years, and I could do some work. So financially, I was safe anyway, so I didn't have to go through the worry of what am I going to do now. Yeah. They're actually going to provide me with a path to let me do what my next dream was anyway, which was to coach. So I was really lucky in that way, which not everyone gets that. That was just a lucky break for me. Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's what made it easier for me. After a couple of weeks, I realised, well, this is where I'm going for the next part of my life, so I may as well get on with it, And I'd run the yellow shirt, and you always felt like, geez, I'd like to just go out there one more time. That's what I used to think. I'd just love to play one more game, just one more. Yeah.
But that's where it's hard, I guess, if those players, they don't have anything set up yet. They would feel lost. They don't know what to do.
I can appreciate how still I was with what he was saying. I've seen players go through it. Yeah.
I know. That's why Chris, with his business, he's so passionate about having something outside of footy, because he's seen with mates how quickly it can end with different injuries. He was great mates with Tim Moulton. That's an example. His career got cut short. And then all of a sudden, there are plenty of other examples. They don't know what's next. And Chris found too, having something outside of football, that also helped his football because it was a good way to then unwind or a good way to switch focus. So he said they both really helped each other.
When clubs these days have a young player coming in potentially to join the club, my understanding, and I know it happens at the vast majority of clubs, the first question they will ask is, what are you going to do when this doesn't work out?
Yeah.
Now, young players, they're like, what do you mean? That's the average career of a rugby league first grade is about 40 games. Now, obviously, you have some guys who play 300 and 200, but there's a lot of guys who just play one. So that's a season and a half.
Yep.
So you've got to get your head around that every chance that it won't work out. So that's a great question to ask first up, because then it imprints on that young player, well, okay, if something did go wrong, I need to have another avenue to pursue.
Yeah.
And I think the clubs are a lot better now, at recognising that and helping players have something outside of footy. But I even, during the COVID break, did a story with New Brown, who was previously at the Bulldogs and the Sharks, and he said he just thought that he was invincible and he thought rugby league was going to be there forever. And all of a sudden he had an ACL, another serious injury, some three ankle surgeries, and no club wanted to sign him. And he really struggled. He had severe depression and he spoke openly about how deep and how dark that got. And now he's on his way back and had signed, obviously then COVID happened, but a contract over there, the second tier in the UK. So he's done a great job in coming back, but it affects them. You have to think, what if this doesn't work out?
Yeah. Well, there wasn't a conversation I expected to go to, but I'm so glad we did, because that's what I love about radio. So, Brownie, sadly, that's where we leave you for this. Well, you leave us.
A quick congratulations to the Gaimier Gorilla Under 12s. That are the best side all year out there in the age group, and they picked up a few bad injuries at the end of the year to some of their better players. I just got the message before they lobbed out, and they still won their grand final 18-6 with a.
Oh, that's great.
And it's great stuff to the Gaimier Gorillas and Ando and all the dads that are. Help coach them along the way.
And well, mums and dads, well, both parents would have been allowed, I think, under the new rules in junior football, which has just happened over the past couple of days, which is brilliant. So,
Can I do a quick shout out then too? Okay. Happy 30th birthday to my best mate, Carly.
Yeah.
And I can't be there tonight for your birthday party because I'm going to be at the Tigers game, but I'll be able to celebrate with her tomorrow. So happy birthday.
Well, I've got a shout out, Stella.
Yeah, Tony, it's just lovely to be alongside you this afternoon.
I was going to say, man. Go, Tony. You're doing really, really well. There you go. Thank you so much, Brownie. Ryan Girdler will rejoin us next. This is the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
So great to be with you, and very nice to welcome Ryan Girdler back to the studio, Girds.
Hey, Tony.
You're well.
Nice to be here.
Little kip.
Your little nap, little nana nap. Yeah, they said it was, you know, when your father and your grandfather after, you know, Christmas lunch just go and sit in the chair and then doze off with their glasses on. That's what they said. But anyway.
I need one.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
And Charlie... a nap as well, huh?
You need, what do you mean?
I think Charlie, producer Charlie's trying to poison me or something. I'm not feeling the best after the burrito bowl.
Yeah.
You're a disgrace, kids.
You are a disgrace. You are a disgrace.
The truth hurts.
Yeah, Peter Sterling, we hadn't really gotten to your take on what's gone on. And I guess the big story was the big result from last night. 60 points. 60 points to 8. I mean, did you just sit there shaking your head?
Well, you can't really say that on radio. Can you put your hand up? Because people can't really see what. When they scored first, when the Roosters scored first, and then they had the second try denied because of the forward pass, just thought, well, here we go. The Roosters on a roll again. It was remarkable. It was, and it's, you wonder what effect it will have. Trent Robinson's exactly right. His players didn't become bad players overnight. And, you know, they're still probably my favourites to win the competition, which is remarkable to say after having 60 scored against them, and no team in history has ever won having 50 put on them during the course of the season. So they've got to break another record. But we talk about momentum and confidence being such important things. Well, what South Sydney got out of that in both of those regards, absolutely huge. And you just wonder for the Roosters, confidence, does it just put a little bit of doubt in the dark recesses of their mind type thing as to get going into
some of the
next
less
week?
Experienced players, Peter, I think that might affect, like, you know, the Flanagans. And depending on what happens with Jake Friend and who's going to play in that crucial dummy half role, I mean, some of those younger guys that haven't got the experience, haven't played in the big games, that's got to affect you in some sort of way.
And I think every other team, Gerds, looked at it and maybe just viewed the Roosters just a little bit differently now. Like they didn't have an aura of invincibility about them, but they've been reigning premiers for the last 2 years. They put together a great season. But all of a sudden, everybody else might just be thinking, oh, their chances are enhanced just a little bit as well.
And how much fun is Cody Walker to watch?
He was... I said last night, it's the best performer, individual performance I've seen all year. Rugby League week, old days, he was 10 out of 10. Yeah. Don't see many of those. And he was just, it was just a joy to watch. When you see a natural footballer, and I said in the zone last night, like he was in the zone, that just, I'm sure that he felt invincible the way that he was playing. But just that, he played the game last night the way rugby league should be played. With instinct and vision and creativity and confidence and all of those wonderful things that don't appear necessarily in shapes and structures and all that. And it was just, he was just a footy player, just having a great time. And I loved every second of it. Kikiri's been fantastic times this year, Tedesco as well. But for an individual 80-minute performance, he's the best I've seen all year.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
Maybe for a number of seasons.
What do you had no problem with Alex Johnson, who of course was leaving the club a little while ago, and then there was petitions, and he was re-signed, which is terrific. Four tries behind Kyle Felt at the start of the game in terms of the top try scorer.
Tony, you're going to be
Umbus.
A negative Nancy with this.
I'm not. My mother's name's Nancy, so be very careful where you're going with that. then he gets the three tries, but the idea of passing, you know, he did the try that he didn't score of his own volition, the try that was handed to him literally on a plate, not literally.
I'm a little bit with you.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a bit of Nancy in me, unfortunately. If I'm the coach, if that pass goes to ground.
But they wouldn't do it if the game was on the line.
No, I know what you're saying, but it's just, I wasn't a big fan of it. And I think even try scorers, even though he did celebrate, would prefer to have known that it was, you know, a fair dinkum try. It's kind of like the little kid back in the under eights who hasn't scored all year and we throw it to him.
Yeah.
And so there, look, no like harm done.
Yeah, now Steve Bradbury stood up on his lounge room and had a really good clap. I mean, he really enjoyed it. I think we put it along the lines of that.
Yeah, no harm done, but not.
What if someone, so they're on the nudie run, they haven't scored all year. Are you happy to see it for that? So
no,
they just get
that's
one
even
try.
Worse.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind
the way. Mad Mondays, it doesn't matter anymore.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah, of course.
Where do you do it?
Hey, speaking of Mad Mondays that aren't
it
happening.
It didn't say anything about nudity, though, did it?
Well, that's when it happens. You don't
no,
just,
but you could.
You get a one-track mind.
I never watched Blake do the nudie run anyway because I don't. Really
do they actually? Do they ever happen? They did them.
Yeah, I saw a couple.
Are they at night time? Are they in a closed environment?
How
what happens?
Work?
I think it just happens. The conversation starts. Hey, how many tries did you gang on? You didn't score a try this year, did you? Come on, get out the front. How'd you get? How'd they go?
I know some blokes who scored 10 and 12 tries and they just whipped it off anyway. Yeah. They just like running around nude.
And a big hello to Brian Fletcher. all right.
Talking about nude, Maroon's just turned up. And Nancy. Hello, Maroon.
Is that Anthony or Antoinette?
Sterlo, what did you text through yesterday while the game was on?
This is the Titans game. Five
for the Titans.
Yes.
Anthony Maroon.
I was one of
them. You think he's good for it?
Well, we're about to find out what kind of man he is, aren't we? Or woman. As, you know, man of his word, I've got no doubt, Maroon. And I think I was only one of 100 texts that he received during the course of the contest. And he did text back to me, not referring to the bet, but last week we were talking about Max Mannix bombing a try for people who... Max Mannix,
Canterbury
player, dived David Swan dive, and the ball came out. It's the greatest bomb try I'd ever seen. And I don't know whether it's the power of suggestion or he's involved in voodoo, but somehow we spoke about that. Went on to talking about Max Merritt from the media.
Been away from me,
Who I've spoken about for 30 years. He's passed away within the week.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't want to get offside with Maroon. Because
that's right.
You get the voodoo doll out.
I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah. All right. Well, but speaking of those Titans, that
with
was also remarkable. If we did have a Mad Monday, the two teams that aren't going to feature in the top eight, although under my system, the Titans would, but that's another story completely.
But your system is just what, swap one team?
My system is I randomly can see a team that's outside the eight that I think would be more entertaining and better value in the eight than a team that's already in there. In this case, I've got two options in the eight I'd get rid of immediately. I'd flick Knights and I'd flick the Sharks, and I'd certainly be putting the Titans
in. So who makes that decision?
I do. It's independent. And, you know, they're a team that everybody loves. But the Titans' performance was sensational.
Has been for the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And great coaching. They played a really great brand of footy, said last week. They scored two 95-metre tries in the previous 2 weeks. They're doing things that other teams aren't, and they're catching them out because of that. Obviously, their main players are playing great. The move from Jamal Fogarty to put him into halfback has been an absolute game changer for them. It's allowed Ash Taylor to play great footy. Brimson is bristling out the back. And they've got some quality forwards coming. If they could sign maybe one or two other quality players, especially if they could get a Brandon Smith, and they'll play finals next year.
Right. All right. We're going to take a break. All heading towards kickoff. You're listening to the Saturday Scrum. We're doing it thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Lovely to have the company. Ryan Girdle, Emma Lawrence, Peter Sterling, Tony Squires. I'm looking on the run sheet here, Girds, and we had New South Wales Origin forward pack.
Did we?
Yeah.
Who'd you have?
No one. Just the question, who will line up for them, it says there. I don't think we actually need to get there just yet. So, speaking of forwards, though, there's a bit of sad news for the Bulldogs in that Aidan Tolman has injured himself in the warm-up before the game with Panthers, and he has been ruled out. Now, given that he doesn't have a contract with the Bulldogs next season, nobody else so far has put their hand up. I don't know. We may have seen Aidan Tolman's last game already.
Yeah, it would be a disappointing way for that to finish. He's been a great performer for a long time now.
A great clubman and someone who, you know, is a great role model as well. You know, lots of drama in rugby league, but he's a good person to have around the club. And even, I mean, that game against the Rabbitohs, he was one of their best.
Yeah, he had
a really solid game. But, yeah, apparently has been told he's not part of the plans going forward, and I guess that's part of it. It is a business, and with a new coach coming in as well, that's always to be expected. But I hope that he can find something if he wants to keep playing. All the best to Aidan Tolman, and an unfortunate way to not know that the game you're playing is your last game.
Yeah.
But hey, if that was his last performance for the Dogs against the Bunnies, one of the best he's had in a few years.
I think you'll find a club. Mm. I think a club will find him.
It's a brutal business, isn't it, this football? The idea of you go through and just kind of put the broom through, you have to. And look, it has to happen, obviously. And the Bulldogs have been one of those examples, a new coach coming in, and there's a whole stack of changes. In the AFL, the Kangaroos, after they finished their game, 11 players immediately delisted. It's just such a tough time of the year for them and incredibly tough circumstances.
I think with Tolman, it'll come down to price for some clubs, but if you are looking for a forward that's no nonsense, that's reliable, that's, you know, can play big minutes if need be, but have that influence at the club.
On the training paddock.
I think that you'd invest in that if you felt that was something that could contribute to your club.
He's a guy that people want to play with as well. And I think during that the week leading up to Josh Jackson's 200th last week, he stood up and presented him with a jersey and had a speech about what he meant to the club and so forth. So you need those people in your organisation. So he'd be a good pickup. And if not here, he'll definitely get somewhere in England.
Sterlo Sunday Arvo, I see you're calling the Dragon Storm blockbuster.
I've got a plan.
Have you? Mm. What is it? A cunning plan?
I'm just looking to add a little bit of spice to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it as the 1999 Grand Final.
That's a genius. Can you just change the result?
Probably
for me?
Not.
That
no.
A
well,
lot
well
of
I don't
years.
Know. I don't know what the result's going to be because it's the Dragons were terrible last week.
Awful. Awful.
But the Storm are just a whole new look side. So
do you have any problem with the idea of that wholesale resting of players?
I understand it completely. And as a player, I loved having a rest, especially going that last week. It's. But I also understand from a broadcaster's point of view that they're spending $2 million on the coverage, and you've got to be a little bit careful that you don't jeopardise that, because down the track when negotiations start again, that's something that the network will raise and say, well, hang on, we're not going to pay as much because of this very thing. You know, we're paying for the best product that you can present.
Yep.
And that wasn't the case here. So, you know, there's two sides to the story. But as a player, love a week off.
It'd be good to see how Jaden Sullivan goes for the Dragons, trying a young kid who is a terrific footballer. And quickly, Em, can Chris Lawrence go out on a win today, the Tigers and the Eels?
I think they can. I am fairly confident too. He and Benji are still the equal leading try scorers for the Tigers, so same amount of tries. So maybe one of them, Chris could finish off
like
with a try.
Get over the line and stand there and wait for your brother to come and pass in the ball. Because you're all
be
about
happy.
That, aren't you?
I'm not against it.
Was he ever a goal kicker? Will he be able to kick a goal, the last goal?
He was, actually, when he was younger.
Okay.
Yep, he was back in the day.
How confident are you when it's on fairly confident?
No, I knew. No, they're equal. I don't know the number. It's 78 tries, maybe something around that. But
is he as competitive as you are?
So
he'll be pushing Benji out of the way.
Yeah, he's a nice person. So that's the difference.
and the Panthers, so they get the job done in the game you're about to call, Gerds?
Yeah, I think so. Momentum's key, as Pete said before, and they've rested a couple, but it's a quality-looking side, and they should go out there and sharpen the tools for what should be probably a Roosters meeting in week one of the finals,
which
believe it or not.
You're concerned about.
Absolutely.
Who wins? Bulldogs, Panthers?
I like Panthers, yep, and go the Sharkies.
All right, sadly, that's where we have to leave you for this afternoon. Remember, though, the game are just about to kick off. Thanks so much. All the good people from King G. Remember, Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.